Our message today is entitled, As in the Days of Noah, and I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, reading verses 37 through 39. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that the word of God tells us that the entrance of your word gives light. So we pray for the illumination of the Holy Spirit today, that the Word of God would come to us, that it would pierce our hearts, that it would bring change and transformation into our lives, and that your name would be glorified. To this end we pray, and we will be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in this very important passage of Scripture that we're all familiar with, we know in Matthew 24, Jesus is foretelling all the signs that will take place, that will point to his return. And then he concludes this teaching by saying, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus is saying that in the same way that the flood came and how people responded will be duplicated or replicated, if you will, in the last days prior to his return. Well, then we need to ask ourselves, how was it in the days of Noah? Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And there's no doubt in our minds that for many, many years, Noah preached and warned the people that God's judgment was coming. They watched him build the ark, but they made nothing of it. Instead, the Bible tells us they were eating, drinking, and giving in marriage. In other words, life was going on as usual. And then suddenly, the flood came. And they all perished because they did not heed Noah's warning. God's judgment was imminent, but people were oblivious, and they lived their lives as if judgment would never come. When it did, it caught them by surprise, but it was too late. I know we're very familiar with that scripture found in Genesis 6:3, where God says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." Yes, we know that God is merciful, he is compassionate, he is not willing that any should perish, but when man continues to harden his heart, God's long-suffering comes to an end. And the scriptures clearly warn us, he who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will be suddenly cut off, and that without remedy. Today we know the warning signs are so clear concerning Christ's return. If you read carefully Matthew 24, everything that Jesus said there is happening before our very eyes. And we are told in the Gospel of Luke, in the words of Jesus, when you see these things begin to take place, look up, for your redemption draws near. But we all need to ask ourselves this morning, are we walking in the conscious awareness that Jesus is coming back and that he may come at any moment? Are we ready for his return? And that's why Jesus warned us in Luke 21, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. Wow, I've read that verse so many times, but that last phrase just jumped out at me. When Jesus returns, we will stand face to face before him, and we will be judged as to how we lived our lives on this earth. I believe, too, that this text also becomes a very accurate portrayal of how this pandemic took place. While we were living our lives so nonchalantly, we were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Life was going on like normal. And then suddenly, COVID-19 hit us like a tsunami. We had no opportunity to prepare for it. And while our heads were spinning, wondering what in the world is going on, the next thing we know, the world went into complete lockdown. And here we are today, nearly 2 months of Sundays stolen from us, where we've not been able to worship together. I know if you're following the news now, at long last, some states are beginning to open once again. And we're certainly praying that Governor Murphy begins to allow New Jersey to open as well. And with these reopenings, we're beginning to think about what the new normal is going to look like. It's been said over and over again, once this pandemic ends, life will take on a whole new view. There will be a new normal. Now, I want to be clear this morning that I do understand until this pandemic fully ends and we are in the clear, we do need to maintain safety measures. But when we're told that even after the danger of this pandemic ends, the new normal needs to include social distancing and even perhaps no more handshaking, can I be honest and candid with you this morning? I'm sorry, but I have a real big problem with that. Because God never created us to be isolated. He created us for connection, and there's a deep-seated need within each of us for physical touch, whether that's a handshake or feeling the human touch of someone's hand on our shoulder or even a warm hug. No doubt, I believe that's why the Apostle Paul said that we are to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I know that in our culture, that is translated with a warm hug. You know, John the Apostle leaned on Jesus's breast. And when he speaks about the experience of coming to know Jesus in his first epistle, he says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning. We saw him with our eyes." And now listen to this. "And we touched him with our hands. He is the word of life." Even after Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible tells us the women held him by his feet. When the Apostle Paul gave his farewell to the Ephesian elders at Miletus, we are told in Acts 20 that there was much weeping as they embraced Paul and kissed him. Furthermore, we learn that the scriptures mandate that it is by the laying on of hands that the sick are healed. Well, enough of my rant, and I apologize for getting off on a tangent here, but I just, as your pastor, want you to know that I do not cotton to the idea that after this pandemic ends and we are in the clear, that there needs to be 6 foot of distance between us, as well as no physical touch. And so we need to pray that God shows us the path forward, because I don't believe that that is his will. God has placed within our hearts the need for physical touch. Well, all of that to say, while we're grappling with the new normal, we certainly don't want to go back either to business as usual. And when we speak about going back to business as usual, I am not referring to being now more conscious of germs that spread disease. I think for some of us, it was a good wake-up call because we really don't practice the kinds of sanitary habits that we should be practicing. But what I am referring to is how we may have lived our Christian lives prior to COVID-19. How did you live your Christian life prior to this pandemic? Nonchalantly? Take it or leave it? A Sunday religion? Half-hearted? Serving in when I feel like it? Not serving when I don't? Praying when I'm in the mood? Neglecting prayer otherwise? Reading the word when I have a few spare moments, otherwise neglecting it. Oh, Christian friends, how I pray that this season has radically changed us. We know that Noah and his family were quarantined for 40 days during that great flood. We also have been in a season of quarantine. We've been hidden with nowhere to go but to the Lord, and that is exactly the place where God has wanted to bring us. God has been looking to get our attention, and I pray that during this time, in the same way that the Bible tells us that Moses responded to God when he saw the burning bush, the scriptures say that Moses turned aside to see. Maybe we've not seen a burning bush, but spiritually speaking, if this pandemic has not been a burning bush that has caught your attention, then I'm afraid there's spiritual blindness there that needs to be healed. And I just wonder, in the midst of all of the commotion that the coronavirus has caused, and all the cacophony of the mainstream media in seeking to capture our attention for only the purpose of sowing fear and anxiety in our hearts, that instead, like Moses, we turned aside to see. We turned aside and we said, Lord, what are you saying to me in this season? What are you wanting to reveal to us in this season? And of course, in past messages, I've been addressing that challenge. Well, let me get back to our text. As it was in the days of Noah. You know, when we think about Noah, we think of it only through the lens of loss and great tragedy. I mean, obviously, it was devastating. The whole earth perished in a great flood. But this morning, I want us to see the flood through another lens. Somehow seeing it through a positive light, and especially understanding that this unprecedented flood of COVID-19, that we want to see it in the light of God's sovereignty. Oh, that changes the picture dramatically. When we see it in the light of Jesus' kingship and his lordship over it all, we can then begin to see things in a much more positive light. The psalmist said in Psalm 93, verses that are so relevant to this season in which we've been living. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring, mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. And then Psalm 29 and verse 10, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. Oh, yes. The coronavirus has been like a tsunami that has overwhelmed and overtaken us. But I want to remind you this morning that King Jesus sits enthroned over that flood. And this morning, with the time remaining, I want us to briefly look at four ways to see this flood through the lens of God's Word. In the days of Noah, as well as in our time, God always uses these catastrophes to bring redemption. We know why God brought the flood, because there was no hope for that society. The Bible says the thoughts of their hearts were continually wicked, and God repented that he had made man. But God created man, and he wanted to give man another chance. And so he starts all over again. And so by the flood, he cleanses the world of all of the violence and the evil and the wickedness that it had committed. And he gives Noah and his family a fresh start. And I submit to you this morning that there is a parallel as well in this pandemic, that in the midst of all of the suffering and death, and certainly this morning, our hearts deeply grieve over every person who was lost as a result of this pandemic, and the thousands of families who are grieving over those losses. But I want us to see that in the midst of all of this, there has also been redemption. We've been quarantined, but what the enemy has intended for evil, God is using for good. During this pandemic, God has turned the tables on the enemy. You know, the Apostle Paul was also quarantined, but he was in a literal prison. And in one of his prison epistles, he writes to the Philippian Christians and he says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Did you know that statistically more people are hearing the word of God than ever before? Those who would never darken a church door are now turning to the internet to find some message of hope, some help, some direction, some peace, some comfort through the Word of God. And the quarantine has forced the church, not the building, but those of us who are the living stones, we are the church, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to step outside of those four walls and now to go into the world and do what Jesus told us we must do, to preach the gospel, the good news, that in the midst of catastrophe, in the midst of devastation, in the midst of hopelessness, hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the coronavirus has been a tsunami of devastation that has been sweeping over the face of the earth. But for those of us who know God, know there has not only been redemption, but secondly, there has been the provision of an ark of safety and protection. And that ark of safety, we know his name is Jesus, the name that is above every other name. And Jesus sits enthroned above that flood. The storm might be raging all around us, but there is no need to fear because we've been placed in that ark of safety, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the words of the old hymn that says it so well. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, because we're fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And isn't that what the Apostle Paul reminds us of in Romans 8? Nothing, nothing in heaven above, in hell below, or on this earth can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, not even COVID-19. Now, in light of sheltering in this ark of safety, I wonder if we've been at peace. I wonder if we've been walking in faith, or have we been walking in fear? Have we been exalting God who is over this flood, or have we been exalting the coronavirus and its power to destroy us? Last week, in our weekly publication of highlights that is sent out through email, I directed your attention to a Facebook live session that is now archived that is called Booster Prayer from the Living Word Ministries in Nigeria, where Brother Imo Okori, who is a spiritual father and a mentor to me, has been leading these meetings every morning. The message that I posted was one that just is so full of the Word of God, and we know the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But as I've been listening to other sessions, Brother Ima made this statement that really captured my attention and stopped me in my tracks. And I quote, "We cannot exalt the virus above God's word." That gave me great pause. As I considered the culture and the degree of faith that I see exhibited in the saints there in Nigeria as opposed to Christians in America, can I say it plainly? We've become so anemic in our faith. We've so easily succumbed to all the fear-mongering. And it seems that we've put more faith in what Dr. Fauci has had to say about this crisis instead of taking heed to the words of Dr. Jesus. My conclusion has been that the Word of God for so many Christians in America are just nice Bible verses that we've memorized, but we don't necessarily believe them. Because in times like these, we either place our faith in the Word of God, the eternal Word of God that is settled forever in the heavens, or we place our faith in the word of man. Do we have faith to take God at his word and believe what he says? God, you said it. I believe it, and that settles it for me. We've been spending a lot of time, haven't we, in Psalm 91. You can read those verses, but do you believe them? You will not fear the pestilence that stalks in darkness. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. The psalmist is saying, there's not even 6 feet of distance between you and those that are falling over by this plague. They're right beside you. But the promise of God's word is, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, and no plague shall come near your tent. No plague shall touch our household, because we are sheltered in an ark of safety, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray Holy Spirit convicts us today. Those of us who've been walking in fear, those of us who've been filled with anxiety, those of us, now understand what I'm saying, my Christian brother, sister. I'm not suggesting that we're to be foolish. I'm not suggesting that we're not to observe the CDC guidelines, but I am suggesting that we're not to live in fear. We're not to live in anxiety. We're not to think, oh, I don't have my mask on, I'm going to catch coronavirus. God has not given us the spirit of fear. That comes from the devil. But he's given us love, power, and a sound mind. Well, we could see this tsunami in a positive light. when we consider that God has provided an ark of safety, which is also providing preservation for the righteous. When judgment came on the whole earth, Noah and his family were preserved. Do you know what it means to preserve? To keep it in its original state, where nothing affects it to change it in any way, shape, or form. And I want to believe this morning what God says in his word, that the Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. If you love Jesus today, you can have the assurance that you will be preserved. You'll be kept in your original state. You were healthy before this pandemic came and hit us. God is going to keep you healthy. He is going to preserve you. We are the children of God. We are kept in a place of preservation. I often think in times like these of the children of Israel when the 10 plagues came upon the land of Egypt and every inch of territory in Egypt was impacted by those plagues. Every citizen of Egypt was affected and impacted by those plagues. Yet the children of Israel who lived in the land of Goshen were preserved. Darkness all around them, but the light of the Shekinah glory of God shone on the land of Goshen because they were the children of God. As in the days of Noah, there's still redemption. There's still protection. There's still preservation. But fourthly, as we conclude this morning, I want to suggest that as in the days of Noah, the ark was a vehicle of transportation, for it carried Noah and his family from an old world into an entirely new world. And I believe, Christian friends, in this season, God is carrying us from the old into the new. Here's the heart of God for his people. From Isaiah 43. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isn't that a glorious promise? We feel like we're living in a land of desolation with a coronavirus that brought so much devastation and darkness into our lives and so much of a wilderness. But God says, I'm the one who makes a way in the wilderness. And I cause the desert to spring forth with new life. And I believe God is at work in his church. He has today a new wineskin because there is new wine that he is wanting to pour out. We can't go back to church as usual. We can't go back to our complacent Christian living. We can't go back to that place where the fire on the altar goes out and we wait for Sunday to reignite it. The fire on the altar of our hearts must never go out. God is wanting and calling us to build an ark, which is also the place of his presence. And as we build the place of his presence, people can come and find help and find refuge and find hope and find healing and find transformation. Find that the desperate needs of their lives are met through Jesus Christ. And in that place of presence, not program, not performance. So many Christian churches in America are just filled with program and performance, coffee clutches. But I want High Street Worship Center to be filled with the presence of the living God, that people would come and encounter the Father's love and experience His embrace. And from that place, every ministry of our church will flow from the place of His presence. Our response to God's word this morning is singular. And I believe the challenge that is before us as I close today becomes the words that we find in Isaiah 54, words that I want the Holy Spirit of God to bring to your heart, that you begin to pray into today, throughout this week, and into every tomorrow as we come into a new season, that we say, Lord, enlarge the place of my tent and let my curtains be stretched out. I will not hold back. I will lengthen my cords and I will strengthen my stakes because, Lord, you want to come and you want to dwell in a larger place in my life. So we say today, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this earth, in my life, in this body, and in this church, even as it is in heaven, for your name's sake, for your honor, and for your glory. Amen and amen.